O divine spark within our heart, may your presence be felt throughout our whole being. May your light and power awaken us from our perennial slumber, so that our entire being becomes one with you. United by your endless stream of love, our souls filled with your spirit and strength, may we be granted the fortitude to enter into the freedom of eternity. O wondrous radiation field of the divine grace, which is granted to every true pupil of the Gnosis. It descends into the essence of the microcosm very individually, and yet it is at the same time for all and belongs to all. For the grace of God, which works in the individual, works thus at the same time for all others. That is the bounty of the divine mercy. A bounty is possessing something which may be given to all as if from an ever-flowing source. O divine mystery, how thankful and fortunate are we for the privilege of living from this source. He who has drunk once may quench the thirst of others. All men are equal heirs, and he who stands for all. We read from the Chinese Gnosis on sight, hearing, and taste. Hence, the sage is guided by his inner being and not by his eyes. The chain of cause and effect we have been explaining must be broken. See the human being as he is, a mighty instrumentarium within and a world without, both of which are in a state of total conflict, even though in many respects they originate from the same order. Hence, the frenzied rides and hunts to achieve equilibrium. But it is precisely this that keeps the whole conflict going, rotating wildly all the time. So the fire wheel of the dialectical astralis keeps on spinning. That is why the sage focuses his attention on the primordial atom, the rose of the heart, his innermost being. He rejects everything coming from the outside and desires only what is within, in the kingdom of the heart. And by that, he breaks the chain of cause and effect. From that moment onwards, a different magnetic fluid is drawn into his system. In this way, his eyes will no longer see conflict in the world, but will only perceive a world in which he does not belong. Then the frenzied hunts on the horizontal plane will come to an end. The ears will hear and utilize other etheric forces, and the sense of taste will receive other sustenance. Thus, the five soul fluids will make possible that great transformation known as the alchemical wedding of Christian Rosy Cross. May it be so.
Dear friend, we have spoken often in our public talks, in our meetings, and in our services about the interesting time in which we live. We have discussed the heightened polarity that characterizes our culture and our society. Time and time again, we have considered the increasing pace of life and the acceleration of the consciousness that is affecting all of humanity, resulting in such increased polarity in human life. Dear friends, much of this is caused by the radiation of Aquarius, the new atmospheric revolution that we see taking place before us is affecting each and every human being, including us, as pupils and members of the Golden Rosy Cross. The new atmosphere makes us feel like we have to gasp for air and struggle to breathe, as if we have ascended the peak of a very high mountain. At the same time, we're trying to make sense of a rapidly changing world, trying to find time for 1,001 activities. There are countless matters to resolve, things to see and to do. We are constantly rushing through life, from the most important things in people's lives, family, work, housing, home and security, to the most peripheral concerns, such as hobbies, entertainment, and of course, the ever-present social media. We hope the weekend will set us free, only to then find ourselves on a human hamster wheel, scrolling through our phones and tablets. Rinse and repeat, week after week, year after year. We are rushing through life, missing out on the essentials, failing to make space for what we've been truly craving as we struggle to breathe in the radiations of Aquarius, which we know are healing. These radiations have the power to make it much easier for us to break through to a new consciousness and let the so much needed inner transformation happen. But instead of welcoming these new radiations, instead of allowing them to fill our spiritual lungs, we end up merely enduring this new atmosphere. Another way of considering this phenomenon is to picture humanity, including ourselves, standing on a giant spinning merry-go-round or a carousel. We stand right at the edge, looking out trying to make sense of the changing scenery in front of us. We desperately try to grab anything that passes by. The more we exert ourselves, the faster the carousel spins. We feel the wind that increases with the speed of the carousel and threatens to push us to the ground. We fall and then pick ourselves up again, confused, perhaps asking ourselves what the point of it all is. But nevertheless, we reposition ourselves for another spin, day after day, until that one day when, heeding the call of the divine essence in our hearts, through our connection with the power field of the Golden Rosicross, we gather the courage, try to break away. Our attempts to free ourselves are met with alternating small victories and recurring defeats. As so many of our fellow human beings, we have questioned the meaning of our lives and started to pull away from the edge of the carousel of the outer life. We might still be attracted to some extent to the images and shadows of reality that spin in front of our consciousness. These projections have been created from our very own speculative thought processes and our easily ignited astral emotional responses. And yes, they rule our lives. Everything that is hidden within us, our instincts, our karmic bonds, our automatisms, everything influence and control our lives at a very fundamental level, far beyond what most of us can imagine. However, we gradually turn our gaze towards the center of the carousel, towards what's essential, towards what makes it turn. And this center is in itself static. But gazing at it doesn't protect us from the constant revolutions and the resulting turbulence that humanity experiences. The wind is still whistling in our ears. Material life still entices us with all its shiny objects. The merry-go-round keeps spinning. And there's more, friends. We are the ones who are making it spin. How, you may ask? We keep it spinning simply by seeing ourselves as separate from one another, by living from our egocentricity, by contributing to elusive truths, and by creating barriers around our hearts. All the difficult or outright dangerous situations witnessed around us, or the great injustices in the world, may trigger fear in us, or they may elicit empathy, or perhaps the drive to do something about it. We may strive to try to improve this world, to find unity and peace here. It's only natural to react this way. But inevitably, we end up perpetuating the dialectical alternation of opposites, unwittingly participating in the root cause of human suffering. It's very important to understand this dynamic, to see this reality for what it is. We, as a collective, create the world of turmoil in which we live. Until we become conscious of this, until we embed these in our own consciousness, even in every fiber of our being and every circulating ether, our life will be essentially tied to this continuously spinning carousel. Since we live out of our biological soul, each motion in ethers of our subtle bodies, and in each exchange of energy that comes about from our microcosm via the personality in the respiration field, will contribute to the perpetual motion of our nature of opposites. Jan van Reichenborg and Kateros de Petri often state in their writings that the human being is fundamentally one with this nature of opposites and transiency, and also that we have the potential within us, in the deepest essence of our soul, to connect with the divine. In the Corpus Hermeticum, Hermes Trismegistus explains to the reader, of all living beings on earth, man alone is dual, mortal as to his physical body, immortal as to the divine remnant that dwells in his innermost heart. For although being immortal and having authority over all, he suffers mortal things which are subject to destiny. Then, although above the harmony of the cosmos, he has become a slave within it. In these words, we find the key to the mystery of our human existence. We are dual beings. We are not only part of this plane of existence. No, we also have within ourselves the very possibility to overcome the familiar state of our consciousness. Deep within us, we know that there is something else, the eternal that transcends the all and unites all. Intrinsically, all human beings aspire to unity. But do we even have a grasp of what true unity means? Since we all still live in the illusion defined by separation, our best attempts to realize unity are fragmented. We create restricted groups that we call nations, unions, clubs, associations, you name it, maybe even spiritual schools. If we really understand that the outer world is just a reflection of our inner being, of our state of consciousness, which is often in turmoil, then we see the source of our chaos. Jan van Reichenborg says in this respect, you will be familiar with this agitation of the heart, the disquiet and dividedness, the anxiety, worry and fear that can arise in it. All those constant changes in your soul state are always evidence of an aim which has not yet been attained. As long as the goal has not yet been reached, the soul state will remain in the fiercely agitated condition. These words bring another perspective with which we can consider our current state, our inner state of being. It is painful to consider, but it drives us forward to the realization that we cannot pacify the inner longing, nor can we find unity, freedom, love here. We are unable to achieve it by means of every personal effort, no matter how hard we try. But this inner agitation is also a helper. It propels us forward towards our true purpose in life. As Hermes says, the spirit is a benefactor of the souls of men. It works on them and forms them for the sake of the good. The spirit is always present in the unfolding development of the world and humanity. And each one of us, at all times, Now, in the age of Aquarius, tension, uncertainties, and changes make us aware of the futility of life in this natural order, making us even more aware of our inner longing and leading us to ask the fundamental questions of existence. It does not let us rest, but propels us forward towards the connection we are meant to make, to lead us to the bridge we are meant to cross. This yearning will guide us towards the unity of our heart and head, which is the basis of the new soul. And as we continue to strive on the path, there will come the day when the new soul principle in the heart of the pupil will be able to connect with the divine spirit. And so the human being will attain kinship with the spirit. This all may sound too lofty and unattainable when we look at our current life. However, no matter where we stand, we can always be connected to the light if we choose to be. But are we aware of this potential connection? Do we have faith in the light? Faith is not a mere belief in things we do not know for sure. Faith is a powerful inner connection between our state of consciousness and the universal life field. No matter where we are on our path, no matter how little we know and how many shortcomings, faith is the bridge that closes this gap. Faith forges a bond with the spirit-soul field. Through this connection flows the power that enables us to let this inner process happen. Faith is a beacon of light that pierces through the darkness. Our work is to keep our focus on this light, letting our faith become ever stronger despite all the challenges and struggles of our daily lives. Then, the perception of our current existence will begin to shift as the veil of ignorance will be lifted from our eyes. Faith is the pure knowing of the heart. In the certainty of faith, we begin to see our lives from the perspective of the true eternal soul within us, and to live from it. We begin to realize that the entire world, the cosmos, is a unity and is able to be taken up into another light, the light of omnipresence, of the gnosis. For from the perspective of the true soul, all is one. Friends, we do not need to summon this light or to create this unity out of opposites of outer light. No, it is always right here. It is nearer than hands and feet. Now, our rational mind would probably kick in and say, yes, I know. But do we truly know from within, in each fiber of our consciousness? Do we truly have faith in it? Do we really reach out to connect with it? The less we think and want, the less we identify with our familiar consciousness, and the more we can see with the eyes of the true eternal soul within us. And then we will realize ever more clearly that the eternal light of the Gnosis, the light of the One, has always been right here, closer than hands and feet. It is up to us to forge and create the link. That is what it is all about. As a soul, you are called to become a link between the unity and the multitude, a living connection between heaven and earth. This new genesis will arise when, based on our boundless awareness, you realize that the soul is formless and timeless. When you experience that your consciousness can be a revelation of a grandiose reality, all-encompassing, all-penetrating, and perfect. The domain of the soul is characterized by unity, freedom, and love. Dear friends, may it be so.
Are you conscious of having been called to freedom? Are you conscious of being drawn to the new life fields? If you are conscious of this, you are blessed among men. Then throw off all the impediments and enter the freedom which lovingly beckons you. The pastures of freedom and fulfillment are not a place to which you must travel incredibly far away. No, they are a state of being. Because freedom calls you, because you seek freedom, because time after time freedom touches you, we may say that the new life is nearer than hands and feet. It encompasses you and is within you. One positive farewell to your old state of being, to which you still cling too much. One positive decision to live the Gnostic magic life in accordance with the new state of being. And you will cross the bridge of many sighs to the joy of freedom, to proceed from freedom to fulfillment. O Gnosis, may your fire, your light, and your might fill our entire being. May we rise up and grasp the hand you unceasingly and mercifully extend towards us, like an imperishable beacon of light. May we then, with a one-pointedness of mind and in unity, share your blessings with all those who truly yearn for a new and liberating life. So be it.